If you want to go further and add some fun and versatility into your hunting program, check out Can-Am's Defender. Pretty soon I'm headed to my buddy Doug's, and we're going to be running around in Doug's Can-Am because it's like, it's fun. You can get around quietly, easily, all over his property. It's just versatile. Oh, I love it. To find your next Can-Am or to shop online and get serious about backcountry travel, visit CanAmOffroad.com. Turn something that you kind of dread driving around into something you love. Visit CanAmOffroad.com. Hey guys, turkey season is in full swing right now, and if you are planning on getting after it, make sure to pick up some Meat Eater Phelps turkey calls to stuff into the old turkey vest or into your fanny pack right now. I carry a few different things. I like to use mouth calls, and I like to use pot calls. Mouth calls or diaphragms, I like them because it gives you hand-free calling, meaning when you're working a bird up close, you can have your gun on your knee, finger on the trigger, ready to roll, and still be making turkey sounds. I like pot calls because I just like pot calls. I enjoy calling with a pot call. Whatever direction you go, including a box call, which I don't personally use too much, but they're fun and great, and I started out with them. Yanni, on the other hand, one of my main turkey hunting buddies, he loves box calls. And what's funny is I'll now and then look to him and give him the look that means get out your box call and find us a turkey. So it's not that I don't like him. I just have Yanni use his. Then I don't have to carry it. Go to Phelps Game Calls. Get calls that are made in the USA and get calls that'll get them close. Find yours at PhelpsGameCalls.com today.
It's a Meat Eater podcast.
Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Newarth, and today we're joined by Giannis Poutelis, Ryan Callahan, Mackenzie Elmquist, Randall Williams, Maddie Lehman, Seth Morris, and Hunter Spencer. This is a 10-round quiz show with questions from Meat Eater's four verticals, which are hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking. And there is a prize. Meat Eater will donate $500 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. For the stat of the week this week, we're looking at our best performers in the hunting category for those who have been to a minimum of five shows. The leader in the pack, do you want to make a prediction? And who has our best? Who's our best player in the hunting category?
Randall.
Brody.
I was also going to say Brody.
The leader of the pack is Brody, who gets 73% of hunting questions right.
What a fun stat.
That's followed by Randall at 67%, Hunter at 64%, Giannis at 60%, Steve at 55%, Cal at 52%, and Mark Kenyon at 50%. They are our only players who get more than half of their hunting questions correct. Brody, though, 73%. Three out of four hunting questions.
I think we could do a thing where we just don't mention Brody unless he's here.
Oh.
How about that?
Interesting.
You've broken the rule multiple times. Here's our 0%er question of the week, which tests how much knowledge players have retained from previous games. This question was from episode 357. The topic was biology, and nobody got it right. It was also the second ever time that we had a 0%er on a multiple choice question. Here it is. According to a 1981 study in the Journal of Mammalogy, what North American mammal has the most color variations? Was it black bear, fox squirrel, eastern cottontail rabbit, or red fox? I know that Hunter knows this, so we're going to let someone else answer. What do you think the answer is? Which one of those has the most color variations?
Fox squirrel.
Red fox.
Fox squirrel was right. Nobody got it right. The day that we played, though, they said fox squirrels are commonly found in gray, silver, brown, cream, red, beige, and black, and that Florida alone has six distinct colors of fox squirrel.
What was the total number? Wasn't it like 24 or 5?
I don't remember. I think they had a specific number, but they talked about how you can have like the dorsal hairs can be a different color. They can have a different color tail. Sometimes their heads are even a little bit different. But the most diverse in North America for mammals.
The only reason I got that right is because I knew that no one got it right previously. So I just went with the
eastern cottontail rabbit. That could be a bad answer, too.
Yeah.
Could have said that one. We have some housekeeping to get to in a previous game of trivia. We had a question about states with the most tornadoes. This prompted someone in the room to ask what the boundaries of Tornado Alley are. which it turns out there are none. Tornado Alley is a loosely defined area that stretches as far south as Texas, to as far north as North Dakota, to as far west as Wyoming, and to as far east as Ohio. Most agree that the primary alley is the Great Plains, but new research suggests this is shifting east. Since 1979, there have been fewer twisters in the heart of Tornado Alley and more tornadoes in places such as Tennessee, Mississippi, and Arkansas. This has inspired meteorologists to create the nickname Dixie Alley, which refers to the Mississippi Valley and Tennessee Valley, where tornadoes are prevalent. Cal, have you, how many tornadoes have you experienced in Montana?
I've seen funnel clouds.
Okay, and that's, I mean, that's the closest threat.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What about in Idaho? You lived in Idaho for a little bit.
No. Zero. No, not my neck of the woods.
Kind of miss having that little threat of severe weather living out here.
It's amazing when you see one, right? You're like, oh, that there's no mistaking what it is. Mm-hmm. That's neat, but yeah, I don't need to feel the power.
We didn't see the funnel cloud, but we were canoeing the breaks one time and had a crazy storm, and we had to pull off the river like four or five times, and lightning and thunder and all that. And when we got out, we went to the bar, and they're like, oh, you guys were out in the tornado. And it would have been a lot more fun had we been able to say we saw it. But apparently we were in the tornado.
You were the tornado.
Yeah.
Okay. Water spouts. See, like water spouts, you know, Fort Peck and Canyon Ferry and stuff.
I've seen
big
those.
Big exposed bodies. Those are impressive, too.
Eastern Washington, they must be like the dust devil capital of the world. Those things are crazy. They're everywhere.
I had they're to, like, cool. They're fun to see.
When we were driving through, I had to point out to my wife all the time, like, dust devil, dust devil. And then within like 5 minutes, it became not cool. Unique anymore. The Shelby Index for today's round is a 5. So I'm putting us on perfect game alert. With that, we're on to the game of trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Nope. That's the clock.
I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything.
It'd be fun to put that little bit of conversation in a bunch of different
game
contexts
on, suckers,
and be like, which one is the most appropriate?
Which conversation?
The what do I stand to win?
Question one. The topic is hunting, and as always, this is multiple choice. Mm. Which of these animals has the highest minimum score in the Pope and Young record books? Is it a typical Colombian black-tailed deer, Canada moose, Alaska brown bear, or Rocky Mountain goat? Which of these animals has the highest minimum score in the Pope and Young record books? Your four choices.
So let's just say if the four choices, if the minimum for those four was 1 inch, 2 inch, 3 inch, and 4 inch, you would want us to write down the one
that has 4 inches.
The one that has 4 inches.
The highest minimum score, your four choices, are a typical Colombian black-tailed deer, Canada moose, Alaska brown bear, or Rocky Mountain goat.
And we're just doing the boring version of this where you just write down an answer.
We need to time travel again here, Cal. This episode is coming out
before
we have an episode where we put a new twist on it. We do not score the game by 1 point at a time. We do something a little bit differently, and that will come out in a few weeks.
So let's not reference the winners or losers of that game.
You've created a rift in the space-time continuum.
That's
here.
Right.
Which of these animals has the highest
their car listening to this?
The highest minimum score in the Pope and Young record books. Typical Colombian black-tailed deer, Canada moose, Alaska brown bear, Rocky Mountain goat. Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers, with Seth saying moose, Cal saying typical Colombia blacktail, Hunter saying blacktail. Maddie saying Alaska brown bear. Mackenzie saying Alaska brown bear. Yanni saying moose. Randall saying moose. The correct answer is moose.
But this is so typical.
You folks got it right.
Ah.
An Alaska brown bear minimum score is 20. A Rocky Mountain goat is 40. A typical Colombian black-tailed deer is 95. And a Canada moose is 135. The Pope and Young world record Canada moose was 222 inches, and it was killed in 1988 in Quebec. The world record velvet Canada moose was 168 inches and was killed in 2003 in Alberta.
So are you just saying, like, was this question the biggest number.
Yes.
And so it didn't matter per species. I was thinking you were asking if you wanted to go get an easy P&Y record, this one, if you just draw the tag and shoot it with an arrow, you will be in the Pope and Young record books.
Now, we said the highest minimum score, the way they list their scores, is the minimum score to get in for a typical whitetail is 125. So we're looking at the highest minimum. Which
I think you're thinking of most entries.
Easiest entries, right? Yeah. So like you kill a antelope with your bow.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's pretty damn easy to get a Pope and Young antelope.
In that case, Cal, I think you still would have been wrong because the Alaska brown bear is a 20 and the Columbia blacktail is a 95. I think the room understood. We're going to move on. Question two.
I am not a part of the room, or I was part of the room.
I've got another version of that question where a goat was the right answer.
Okay.
I'm just joking.
Question
Let's
two.
Let's move on.
The topic is biology. This next great question comes to us via Ryan Bates. This cavity nester is the only duck in North America that produces two broods in 1 year. Yanni, with a very cartoonish response,
really quick. Dang.
He said, ay, 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 when
no.
he heard the question. Topic is biology. This cavity nester is the only duck in North America that produces two broods in 1 year. Maddie, you seem confident. Do you have this one right?
No.
No, okay.
No, just a duck name that I know. So.
Yeah.
Okay. I am confident about naming a duck.
This cavity nester is the only duck in North America that produces two broods in 1 year. Does everybody have an answer? Randall?
I do.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying wood duck, Cal saying wood duck, Hunter saying spoonbill, Maddie saying mallard, Mackenzie saying ruddy duck, Giannis saying wood duck, Randall saying tundra swan.
Is that thing nested in a cavity? I don't. Spencer likes questions about tundra swans.
He wanted to poke at me so terribly that he went with something that wasn't even a duck. Despite
I was
going to
guess Daffy, but I thought tundra swan would be funnier.
The correct answer is wood duck. A few folks got it. A wood duck will produce 6 to 15 eggs each time. In the north, they only have one brood per year, but in the south, they'll sometimes produce two broods each year. One study found that they're more likely to have a second brood in years where the nesting season is longest, and that the first nesting always has more eggs.
That's where they get that saying about southern ducks. You know, they're a little more promiscuous.
Okay. Did you know that one, Cal? That they'll kick out two broods a year sometimes.
I did.
You did?
I did.
I think some of our other players...
Will they kick out a second one if the first one is successful?
I think so.
So they can possibly have two successful broods.
I think they're learning a lot about it. It's only like 20% of them, even in the South, that will do the second brood. Question three. The topic is public lands. What California National Park shares its name with a Toyota sport utility vehicle? Randall seems to have it. Cal, Yanni, and Hunter are joining them with answers. Here's the question again. What California National Park shares its name with a Toyota sport utility vehicle? Kenzie is trying to think of all the national parks she knows in California.
Yeah, that's right.
How many can you think of?
Well, I'm just thinking about Toyotas.
Oh, okay. Going that route instead. Maybe that's a better way to come up with the right answers.
I know it's not a four.
You can take two ways to get there. Think of the national parks in California or the SUVs that you know. What California National Park shares its name with a Toyota sport utility vehicle? Yanni, do you have this one right?
Yes.
Why can't I think
I'm blanking right now, like so hard.
Same.
Cal, do you have this one right?
I have a Toyota written down.
Okay. Cal, have you ever owned an SUV in your life?
Oh, I know.
No.
That was stupid.
No SUV.
I did. I had a Toyota truck.
I just want to blurt out Toyota model names right now.
Mm-hmm. When I was hiking through
What were you doing?
Hiking through Corolla National.
It sounded like you almost were hiking. I didn't know if you're hiking or kayaking.
Oh, it was just, I've been mentally abused talking about things so many times in this game.
TRD Off-Road Package National Park?
Yeah. That's right. That's
Seth, it. You think you have a better chance at thinking of the SUVs or the California National Parks? You have no answer right now.
Definitely, well, I don't know.
Is everybody probably else ready?
I don't know.
Seth used to be a Toyota man.
Yeah, but I didn't want named after National Park.
Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. Oh. We have Seth without an answer, Cal and Hunter saying Sequoia, Maddie without an answer, Mackenzie and Giannis and Randall all saying Sequoia. They got it.
That makes me feel better. I thought it was going to be something very obvious.
The correct answer is Sequoia.
Doesn't it just sound like a car, though?
How many words are out there that have all vowels included?
I don't know, Yanni.
There's probably a good word for words like that.
Mm-hmm. Toyota chose the name Sequoia because those are the biggest trees in the world, and this is the biggest SUV in their lineup. Sequoia National Park has been around since 1890. It was our second national park and was created to protect the tree that it's named after. Question four, the topic is gear. This next great question comes to us via Daniel Krause. What's the term that describes the distance between your eye and the lens on a pair of binoculars? What's the term that describes the distance between your eye and the lens on a pair of binoculars? Hunter, do you have this one right?
I hope so.
Cal and Randall seem confident as well. Seth, do you have this one right?
I don't know.
We'll see. Yeah, I have no idea.
Yanni?
I believe so.
Used to host a whole dang podcast about gear. Do you think you ever said this term in your days of hosting?
No.
Okay.
Did not cover this topic.
It's a term.
What's the term that describes the distance between your eye and the lens on a pair of binoculars?
And the term is
Is it just binoculars? Could this work for a scope, too?
I'm not going to give you any hints.
No hints.
Randall, what inspired that little tune?
Well, you know, I'm just trying to be more open and honest about myself. And the truth is, I like to sing.
Okay. I love it.
Good. I think our audience learned that when you started singing a sea shanty from Jaws.
Oh, yeah.
Phil, I'm going to your musical tomorrow night. Is it a musical?
It's not a musical.
Okay,
I
misidentifying it as a musical.
You are tomorrow?
Going to be there tomorrow.
Oh,
that's right.
Thanks.
I'll be there.
No, it's a screw.
Oh, Hunter going too.
It's a screwball comedy from the 1930s. That's right. You can't take it with you.
We've only talked about it 17 times.
It's aged really well.
Is it sold out, Phil?
I know tomorrow's pretty packed. I think there's still at least a handful of seats at every show, but it's tight because I know I think Corinne
because your whole family
Reva
came into
got
town.
Bad seats. What's that?
Because your whole family came into town.
Yeah, well, you know,
Phil, you said there's no bad seats in that theater though.
Well, yeah. I mean, bad. Mm. It's all relative.
Sure.
Spencer. Yeah.
Here we go. Time traveling again. Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying eye relief. Cal saying parallax. Hunter saying eye relief, Maddie without an answer, Mackenzie saying relief, Giannis saying eye relief, Randall saying parallax. The correct answer is eye relief. Mm. We'll give it to Mackenzie for just saying relief. I don't think it's parallax. I could Google that to see if that's the same thing, but I mean,
eye relief sounds better.
I don't think it is.
I don't know if
parallax is focusing, right?
Yeah. Well, yep. But that's what it's adjusting for, right?
Between the distance between your eye and the lens? I don't think so. Eye relief is important for seeing clearly through binos. Too close, and you'll have kidney-shaped shadows around the image. Too far, and you won't see the full image. This is measured in millimeters and is usually between 10 and 20 on hunting binoculars.
Yeah, for binoculars, though, it's like...
It would have been better if he said
it was
scope. Playful scope.
Yeah,
that's
parallax
is that.
Focusing your crosshairs to the distance of the target.
Right, so you can see both clearly.
Question five, the topic is
it's
fishing.
Fine. It's
fine.
Yeah, whatever.
Your pickup is facing west. You're backing up a boat with your left hand at the 6 o'clock position on the steering wheel. You want the boat to go north. To which direction should you move your hand?
North.
Cardinal direction?
All right, you really got to follow along here. There are multiple correct answers to this.
Okay.
Here it is again. Your pickup is facing west. You're backing up a boat with your left hand at the 6 o'clock position on the steering wheel. You want the boat to go north. To which direction should you move your hand?
Are we assuming that when your pickup is facing west,
it's straight,
that the trailer and boat are
straight? It's all straight. It's all lined up. It's okay. It's as straight as it could possibly be, Yanni.
Okay.
You want a fun fact?
Maybe. Is it going to give out a hint?
No, it's okay. not.
But yes.
This came up recently. I got a little undercover opportunity to go drive the back end of a ladder truck on like a full-blown fire truck, you know, ladder truck.
Okay. Well, undercover fireman. Explain that to me.
He was pretending to be a fireman.
I put a fireman hat on.
Okay.
And went out with a bunch of firemen and got to drive the rear end of the truck.
Mm.
And holy cow, was it a lot of fun.
Okay. Good. Here's the question again.
Really, went through an obstacle course.
Really pay attention here.
Great.
I just had to draw it out.
Your pickup is facing west. You're backing up a boat with your left hand at the 6 o'clock position on the steering wheel. You want the boat to go north. To which direction should you move your hand?
Yeah.
The thing that's throwing me off is I wouldn't have my hand at 6 o'clock.
No.
That is
no,
the hard part.
Oh, really? Where would you put your hand?
12.
Okay.
Yeah.
Me too, Spencer.
You would also go 12 or you'd go 6?
This is the easy way to teach people, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is everybody ready?
That's how I learned.
No.
Okay.
Sorry, we're too much jibber-jabber. I can't write at the same time.
I'm going to read the prompt one more time. This is your last chance to hear it. If you're playing along at home and not watching on YouTube, Phil has the
this
prompt
is an American pickup
on
truck?
YouTube. Your pickup is facing west. You're backing up a boat with your left hand at the 6 o'clock position on the steering wheel. You want the boat to go north. To which direction should you move your hand? Is everybody ready? Randall?
Yeah.
Maddie, Mackenzie? How you feeling?
Not good.
Why?
My brain is just...
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, this room does that to people.
Mackenzie, a lot of erasing. Are you ready?
No, I'm not erasing. I can prove it. I messed okay. some up when I turned it over, and so I want it to be legible.
To be clear, you're sitting in the driver's seat.
No,
are
actually,
you
you're sitting
a
in the
ladder
back
truck?
Passenger
Are you driving
seat?
It the weird way or the normal way?
Yeah, are you wearing shoes?
One clarification I have is it do you want the boat to go north or face north?
You want the boat to
oh,
go
let's
north.
Let's not do this.
Okay. Is everybody ready?
And motor first or bow first?
Do you want like a clockwise or do you want
There's multiple ways to come up with the correct answer. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying right or counterclockwise. Cal saying left or north. Hunter saying right or counterclockwise.
I think
Maddie saying south. Mackenzie saying counterclockwise. Giannis saying counterclockwise. Randall
oh,
saying
shit.
Right or counterclockwise.
I got my east and west.
The correct.
You got the north.
There are three potential correct answers.
Hunter, you move your hand
right,
the direction you want
right.
the boat to
the,
go.
The three
when you're
correct
holding
answers
at the 6 o'clock position.
Are yeah. right, north, or counterclockwise. Now, Cal put conflicting answers. We're not going to give it to him.
That's
he
fine.
Put that you move your hand left and north, which does
you want
not
the boat?
How do you move it?
I just I have a hard
north?
Time having the left well, hand at the 6 o'clock yeah. and then moving counterclockwise. That's why I was wondering if we were driving a Japanese vehicle.
It'd be like, well, maybe you got
or
one of
Australia.
That's what took me so long.
Well,
like,
I thought we had
now, if you're
like
facing
west.
Now, Cal gave out a hint saying that this is the beginner way
yeah.
to back
okay.
up.
Yeah.
Placing your hand at the bottom of the steering wheel while backing up a trailer is one of the easiest ways to master this chore. Simply put, if you want the trailer to go left, then move your hand left or clockwise. If you want the trailer to go right, then move your hand right or counterclockwise. Had some extra information there. It doesn't matter if you're holding the steering wheel with your left or right hand. I don't know if that threw anybody off. Nope. That was question five. Phil,
if you're standing on the driver's seat, you have your arm between your legs, like a center.
If you're wearing glasses on the autumn equinox.
Oh, okay.
Did you guys
got...
see the, what was it called?
Yeah, the eclipse.
The eclipse oh, the yeah. other day? We were out pheasant hunting, and I saw it, and it was pretty cool.
Oh, I have a little tidbit about that.
It didn't really come through.
It's too cloudy.
You have to do like the thing where you go like this and look through your fingers at it.
I shot an antelope during the eclipse.
That's sick. Nice. Like right when it was happening?
Yeah.
Damn.
Did you wait till the eclipse hit to stalk in on
him? I saw that picture. I thought it looked like kind of dark looking.
Yeah.
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 Phil, we're halfway through the game of trivia. That
never happened again.
I thought that was just a cool filter.
Give us a scoreboard update.
We've got Maddie with 0 points. Cal has 2. Randall, Mackenzie, and Hunter all have 3. Seth has 4. And Giannis has a perfect game with 5 points.
Whoa. Yanni,
no way.
Who tells?
Yanni.
No way.
You can go further with Can-Am. I'm telling you, man, I don't care if you're hunting on a farm, hunting on a ranch, hunting out on public, cruising up and down the beach down in Baja, out in the desert in Sonora where we hunt coos deer. Riding a Can-Am is just funner than riding a vehicle. Everything about it's better. And you can check these two models out, the Defender. This is the undefeatable workhorse from Can-Am. Because like you, it never quits in the face of the toughest work. And it's got HVAC, which keeps you protected from the elements. And you enjoy the perfect temperature when it's freezing cold or real hot. Heavy-duty Rotax engine with a class-leading 69 pound-feet of torque. And check this out. Up to 2,500 pounds towing capacity. The Outlander 500 or 700. This is an all-capable workhorse. Nothing you can't overcome. HD5, HD7 engines that power through any job. Engineered with the strength, features, and build to never let you down, so you're getting reliability and a quality build ready for any job with 125 accessory options. To find your next Can-Am or to shop online, visit canamoffroad.com/hunting. Hey, you know when you take some time to clean out, let's say like clean out your garage, and you're like, man, how was I living like that with that place such a mess? Well, check this out. If you've been paying a fortune for wireless and then you switch over to Mint Mobile and get plans for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, you'll be saying, how was I ever affording to do that way I did it before? It's time to switch, okay, to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. To get this new customer offer and get your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/meateater. That's mintmobile.com/meateater, and you will cut your wireless bill to $15 a month. Again, mintmobile.com/meateater. It's a $45 upfront payment required, which is the equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Man, I'm just coming back not too long ago from youth turkey season in Wisconsin. Now, last year at youth turkey season, it rained and snowed the whole time. This year at youth turkey season, it was in the 70s and even up to 80. So me and my kids are pouring it to it. And after a while, I realized they didn't drink anything all day and they haven't drank anything all day. Well, that's why it's important to get hydrated and have something you're going to like to help you, encourage you to get hydrated. Doesn't matter. Outdoor events, turkey hunting, playing sports, beach days, mountain adventures. Summer requires extraordinary hydration that's built for everyday dehydrating moments. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in a single stick, it's clear why Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America. Tear, pour, live more. One stick plus 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. I'll say that again. Hydrates better than water alone. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to LiquidIV.com and you use code MeatEater at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code MeatEater at LiquidIV.com.
Question 6.
Let's get some good questions here.
Question 6. The topic is hunting. This next great question comes to us via Justin Schmitz. Who sells the legendary A5 shotgun?
Oh my God, it's my dream gun.
Mm. Hmm. Aww. Who sells the legendary A5 shotgun? Randall and Hunter and Seth are all confident. Cal and Yanni are joining them.
Is it?
So you're looking for like
manufacturer or retailer?
Bass Pro.
I've sold one of these.
You can catch me on a technicality there, Randall, if you wrote down your own name.
Just glad Steve wasn't here for that.
Mm. Now, Yanni, why do you prefer hand at the 12 o'clock when backing up a boat?
Because you look like an adult.
It just is more comfortable.
Here's the question again. Who sells the legendary A5 shotgun? Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth and Cal. What's that say, Cal?
Browning.
Cal saying Browning. Seth saying Browning. Ooh, Hunter saying Browning. Maddie saying Reddington.
Giannis did lose.
Mackenzie saying Weatherby. Giannis saying Beretta. Randall saying Browning. The correct answer is Browning. Yanni lost his perfect game. The A5, which is short for Auto 5, was the first mass-produced semi-auto shotgun in the world. It was designed by John Browning in 1898, patented in 1900, and produced continually until 1998. It's known for its distinctive high rear end, which earned it the nickname Humpback. Question 7. The topic is cooking.
You sold one, Randall?
Yeah.
Damn.
And then what?
Shouldn't have done that.
Profited.
You didn't then buy a new one?
Went
buy,
straight
buy
to
a
the
wedding
bank.
Ring.
I'm talking to the guy who can't use PayPal or Venmo for selling too many guns on the internet.
Question 7. The topic is cooking. What real life restaurant chain was created by Forrest Gump after he bought a fishing boat? What real life restaurant chain was created by Forrest Gump after he bought a ship, after he bought a fishing boat?
I could give you a hint that you probably know.
The room seems pretty confident, minus Mackenzie, maybe. Maddie, do you have this one right?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I can see. My beginner's luck is dwindling.
I can see the billboard for it in my head.
Have you seen the movie?
Oh, yeah.
Has everyone seen the movie? Mm-hmm. Okay.
One of my favorites.
Yeah.
Great. What real-life restaurant chain was created by Forrest Gump after he bought a fishing boat? Is everybody ready?
No. I'm just making something up.
The old Browning A5. We used to have competition. Not really competitions, but amongst a bunch of fishing guides, if you couldn't back a trailer up very well, then you're poked at a lot. I remember some of the younger guys or senior guys that couldn't back trailers up, they would get sensitive about it. Mm. Did you experience that too, Cal?
Oh, it screws everything up. Like, it's the hallmark of being a professional at the river access
site. That's true.
It's a guide's 401k. I mean, you don't really have much else.
You don't.
You don't.
And yeah, I've seen some disasters at the boat ramp.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying Bubba Gump Shrimp Company. Cal saying Bubba Gump. Hunter saying Bubba Gump. Maddie saying Popeyes. Mackenzie saying Bubba Gump Shrimp Company.
Giannis going for extra credit
and
there.
Randall saying Bubba Gump Shrimp Company. They got it. The correct answer is Bubba Gump Shrimp Company.
Do you have to say Shrimp Company?
Yeah, we'll give it to you if you just said Bubba Gump. In the 1994 movie, Forrest buys a shrimping boat with the earnings he made while playing ping pong. He makes Lieutenant Dan his first mate, and their business, Bubba Gump Shrimp Company, takes off after being the only boat to survive Hurricane Carmen. According to Bubba Gump Shrimp Company, they're the only casual restaurant chain in the world that's based on a motion picture property. Today, there are 34 Bubba Gump Shrimp Companies in 8 countries.
Because I don't want to know if you started it, if the food's good, right? It's like,
because Forrest Gump.
Oh,
has anyone ever eaten one? I never.
Yeah,
have.
It's one of the only crappy. It's one of many crappy food options in the airport in Cancun.
Oh, so
I was going to say that's where I saw. I literally, it's right at security. They have that.
It's horrible. Yeah.
Give us a review, Cal. Then horrible. That'd be the headline. Horrible.
Yeah, I'd be like, if you want to throw money away.
Guys, you're...
Did you get shrimp?
You're really killing our odds of getting, like, a nice gift package from Bubba Gump.
Maybe we're increasing them. They have beer.
Question 8. The topic is woodsmanship. This next great question comes to us via Charlie McDonald.
If you were to mate a...
The three sides of the fire triangle are heat, oh. fuel, and blank.
Mm-hmm.
The three sides of the fire triangle are heat, fuel, and blank. Our room is very confident. This may be the 100%er of this game. Okay. Maddie recoiled a little bit when I said that. Now, Randall, before the reason I phrased it as selling the shotgun, which, as you pointed out, is probably incorrect, is because for a while someone else made it for them, I believe.
Oh.
I think it was, what is it, the Remington Model 11?
Oh, that's I was going to say, you better not say Beretta.
It's the exact same, so that's why. I don't remember who it was, but someone else was making it for Browning for a bit.
Real pro move there.
Well,
nicely done.
No, then you.
No,
you pulled the wool over my eyes. Is everybody ready?
Hey, I think so.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying humidity, Cal saying air, Hunter saying oxygen,
wow,
Maddie saying oxygen.
I changed mine from oxygen.
Mackenzie, Giannis, and Randall all saying oxygen. The correct answer is oxygen or air. The fire triangle is meant to illustrate what the three mandatory ingredients are to create fire. The fire triangle is a term that's used by organizations like the National Park Service, U.S. Forest Service, and National Fire Protection Association. But some groups have the fire tetrahedron instead, which adds combustion or chemical reaction as the fourth element. Cal, the guy who got to go be an undercover fireman, couldn't come up with the third side of the fire
triangle. What do you mean?
Triangle.
I said air.
Or the guy who fought fires.
Seth, the guy who was fought forest fires said humidity. That's next level. You're going for the five-sided.
We just tried to put him out, you know. We weren't trying to get him going.
Phil, we have two questions left. Give us a scoreboard update.
Well, this is exciting.
I don't know how it works. I just steer it, boss.
The only player who's not left in the running is Maddie, but we have... Yeah, I'm sorry. It's not exciting for you. We have Mackenzie and Cal have 5 points. Seth and Randall and Hunter all have 6, and Giannis is in first place with 7 points.
This is a personal record.
Question 9.
Well, you only slipped up on the Browning so far?
So far.
And how close were you to putting Browning there, Yanni?
Not close at all.
Question 9.
Man of conviction.
6 letters.
The topic is conservation. This invasive mollusk with zigzag stripes was discovered in the United States in 1988.
Name its cousin.
The room is pretty confident. Topic is conservation. This invasive mollusk with zigzagged stripes was discovered in the United States in 1988. Without giving any hints, Seth, have you ever come across one of these?
I think I have.
Maybe. Okay. Anyone else encounter
exactly
one of these?
Mm-mm.
Is everybody ready?
I was fishing on the Great Lakes. One of the Great Lakes. And you'd snag clusters.
Mm. Oh, okay. I think I'm right.
Go ahead and Hunter Spencer, are you ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying zebra mussel, Cal saying zebra. Hunter, was that going to be a Z? Or was that a question mark?
I wish
mark?
It was.
Question mark.
You should have just said yes.
Maddie and Mackenzie and Giannis and Randall saying zebra mussel. They got it. The correct answer is zebra mussels. Zebra mussels most likely arrived here in the ballast water of what was discharged into the Great Lakes from European ships. They have quickly become one of the worst invaders in the country. The biggest problems they cause are outcompeting native mussels and clogging up water intakes for power plants and irrigation. Question 10, nothing from the leaderboard changed, did it, Phil?
Correct. Well, Hunter... Yeah, Hunter's no
out.
Longer in the running. We've got Giannis, Randall, and Seth left in. Giannis has 8, Randall and Seth have 7.
Question 10. The topic is woodsmanship. This is our listener question of the week, which was won by Brendan Compton for sending this great question. Brendan is going to get a board game signed by the Meat Eater crew. If you want to win our listener question of the week, then send your question to trivia@themeateater.com. This tree with a color in its name is the most widely distributed conifer in the eastern United States. This is according to the USDA. This is a statement they made. This tree with a color in its name is the most widely distributed conifer in the eastern United States. Yanni looks satisfied with his answer. Yanni, is this going to pull you away from the competition?
I have an answer written down. I am now going to try to think of other conifers with colors in their name.
Okay. Seth, do you know this one?
I'm torn between two.
Okay.
But I went with my gut.
We are down to Yanni and Randall and is it Seth? Seth, are you the other player left?
Yeah.
We would need Yanni to get this wrong and Randall and Seth to get this right to go to overtime. Here's the question again. This tree with a color in its name is the most widely distributed conifer in the eastern United States.
Evergreen.
This was a statement made by the USDA. Is everybody ready?
No. It doesn't matter for me, though.
You're going for a personal best, Mackenzie.
Right.
If you want to
come up. I mean, I've already hit it, but I could, like, really blow it out of the water.
Set the bar high.
I won't change mine. I just
want to Is everyone ready? Yeah, I'll tell you what happened. Yanni just revealed his answer to Randall, and Randall said,
Well, we have different answers.
Okay, that's good drama.
Some element. Let me see what you got.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying white pine.
That's
Kel saying blue spruce. Hunter saying white oak. Maddie saying blue spruce. Mackenzie without an answer. Giannis saying white pine. Randall saying blue spruce. The correct answer is red cedar. Nobody got it right. Red cedar or red juniper. You could say either one.
Oh,
interesting.
Nobody got it right, and Yanni is our winner.
Wow. Drama. Thanks.
Wow. I hate to win on a loss, but yeah.
This is according to the USDA. The range of the red cedar has considerably extended, especially into the Great Plains. It has the ability to grow under extreme conditions in a variety of soils and can quickly take over an area. Their numbers were historically controlled by fire, but due to a lack of burns, they've been one of the most abundant trees on the continent. A red cedar.
I hate those things.
Are they salt cedar too? Is it the same or not the same?
There's something weird with like cedars aren't native to North America. So this is technically a red juniper. It's native to the continent, but everyone just calls it a red cedar.
Got it. Cool.
That's Yanni.
People use them for whitetail habitat?
You're asking? No, people try to eliminate them most times. Well, at least where I'm from in South Dakota, they can like really take over a pasture. So folks will do their best to get rid of them.
There's, I know some folks that have used them for like thermal cover and stuff for whitetails.
They create good cover, but almost too good of cover sometimes.
And they're groundwater sinks, or straws, or whatever you call them.
They
suck
like
up too much water.
What do they look like?
A juniper.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of them, I think a lot of them end up being more shrubby than like
a
tree.
Not like tall.
Yanni, do you have any red cedars in Wisconsin?
Are you familiar with the sequoia?
No, we do not.
Yes.
You're making me feel like I'm really far behind on all these tree questions.
We have a lot of white pine.
A lot of white pine. Yanni, you get to choose where the $500 donations from Meat Eater goes. What's it going to be?
I'm going to stick with the one I voted for last time, which is the Coloradans for Responsible Wildlife Management, who are spearheading the fight against Colorado Ballot Initiative 91, I believe, which is the they're going to try to ban trophy hunting. And they're... they're sort of trying to decide how they're going to define trophy hunting right now. So I urge everybody to kick down some cash to Coloradans for Responsible Wildlife Management because they need all that they can get. We heard that the opposition has $1 million per month to spend over the next year to pass it in their favor.
Well, somebody needs to get proactive in that state and just come up with a bill that makes ballot box biology illegal.
Yes, I believe that that's being discussed.
And a lot of reasons not to like it, but Yanni, you personally said it hit home because of the mountain lion hunting aspect of it, right?
Yeah. I mean, it does there, and I lived for a long time in Colorado, so it hits home on that aspect as well. But I think that if you're a hunter and it doesn't hit home, I think that you're being fooled, because we recently heard that another state official down there asked, well, if we're going to outlaw the mountain lion and bobcat hunting, and they've included lynx as well, why are we still going to allow the trophy hunting of black bears and bighorn sheep? So you see how easy it would be to just start lumping any sort of animal that you like to put on your wall, Randall, into this, and then losing more hunting rights.
Or in your freezer in my garage.
So there's Randall's meat is in your garage, in your freezer?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't have room for two freezers.
I don't get to enjoy the fuzzy parts. Just the freezer taking up space in my garage.
Well done, Yanni. $500 going their way. Join us next time for more Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins.
Hey guys, turkey season is in full swing right now, and if you are planning on getting after it, make sure to pick up some Meat Eater Phelps turkey calls to stuff into the old turkey vest or into your fanny pack right now. I carry a few different things. I like to use mouth calls, and I like to use pot calls. Mouth calls or diaphragms, I like them because it gives you hand-free calling, meaning when you're working a bird up close, you can have your gun on your knee, finger on the trigger, ready to roll, and still be making turkey sounds. I like pot calls, so I just like pot calls. I enjoy calling with a pot call. Whatever direction you go, including a box call, which I don't personally use too much, but they're fun and great, and I started out with them. Yanni, on the other hand, one of my main turkey hunting buddies, he loves box calls. And what's funny is I'll now and then look to him and give him the look that means get out your box call and find us a turkey. So it's not that I don't like them. I just have Yanni use his. Then I don't have to carry it. Go to Phelps Game Calls. Get calls that are made in the USA and get calls that'll get them close. Find yours at PhelpsGameCalls.com today.